Welcome to Roots and Realities, where we talk about motherhood, marketing, and everything in between. I'm your host, Emma Hushka, founder of Fiddleleaf Marketing and mom of two little girls navigating the beautiful chaos of growing a business while growing a family. This podcast is all about real stories from real women, the kind of conversations that happen when the to-do list is long, the coffee is cold, and the wins, big or small, are worth celebrating. Whether you're building a brand, packing school lunches, or just trying to find a little space to breathe, you are in the right place. This is Roots and Realities. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to Roots and Realities. I am so excited for my guest today. Miranda Lehman is one of my best friends in the entire world. She was my roommates in college, and she is an incredible stay-at-home mom of four boys, nine and under. Yes, everyone, four boys. And I am so excited to talk to her. Miranda and I talk regularly throughout our days and our weeks with one of the best group chats, the Purdue Girls. Shout out to all of you. And I was really excited to kind of change the tune of this podcast to talk really what is most important to me is being a mom and secondly, marketing. So that'll be mixed in throughout the podcast as I make these. But Miranda was one of the first people I thought of to talk about all the wins, but also the challenges of being a mom. And I have looked up to you since, you know, college, really, to see, and I'll let you tell a lot of your story, but just this beautiful love that you have with your husband, who's one of my favorite people in the world as well, and to just see how much love you put into your friends, your family, and now your family in your kids. And when I became a mom, I was like, I remember asking you from potty training to all of the different, anything I was going through as a mom, it was like, Miranda's been through this, and I know you'll be real and honest. So when I decided to kind of shift the tone of this podcast, I was like, I need to talk to Miranda. And I text you. I was like, hey, will you be on my podcast? And of course, you're like, you know, I'm in.
100%.
So thank you so much for being here. I am just excited to, it's like a FaceTime chat, but we're just going to let some other people listen in and just feel the real of, you know, your life and kind of what led you to be a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, again, just I want this to be real. I want people to relate and to just feel like they're sitting down with you and having coffee, because I think everyone would be so honored to have that opportunity, but not everyone gets to know you. So let's start off with, you know, obviously we went to school together. You have, I know your teaching degree, you taught for a couple of years, I know Chicago Public Schools and then a private school. So what kind of, when you, you know, were first teaching, what led to the decision to stay at home with your kids?
Okay, well, first of all, I love you, and thank you so much for chatting with me today and for letting, like, I feel honored that you want to talk to me about this. I, like you said, we talk all the time, so motherhood, life, everything. So thank you, thank you. I'm so happy to be talking to you. So I taught for 2 years and then got pregnant with my oldest, and it just so happened that it made more sense at the time financially for me to stay home. So I was a private school teacher. If any teachers out there, they know that there's a difference in salary compared to public schools. So at the time that I got pregnant with my oldest, I was at a private school, and it just made more sense instead of paying for childcare, which would essentially be my whole check, you know, that was kind of the driving force. And then after that, after I had my oldest, I was pregnant at every first birthday. So I really knocked them out. I mean, whether I was only a couple weeks pregnant or a couple months, it just so happened that it was kind of continuous.
Wow. I don't think I ever realized that every first birthday you were pregnant. That is, first of all, I love that because I found out I was pregnant with Emery on Lily's first birthday party.
I love
which I did not realize all of yours, all four. Yeah. Like that's consistency, that's dedication. But what you said about, you know, that it's the salary just isn't worth the childcare call, you know, and that is so common. You know, I've done a lot of research just because I'm so, when I became a mom, I was like, how do women do this? Like, how do they work and have kids? And, you know, I've always been very passionate about my career, but it's been, I've been so interested in this aspect of like exactly what you said of like women that have to make that choice. And I know, you know, and I want to get into like how you feel about that choice and you know, what that looks like on a week to week, daily basis. But it's like statistically, it's wild how many women, you know, that is kind of the only thing that makes sense, you know, is to make that decision. And I eventually want to continue to talk about on this podcast, just the cost of childcare and how, you know, unfortunately this is, a lot of women don't have a choice even if they want to stay in their careers because financially it just doesn't make sense. But let's get more into the day-to-day of your life, because even the day I texted you to do this podcast, your response, you're like, I'm so sorry. And, you know, whatever part of this you want to share, but like, what is, first of all, what's the hardest part of being a stay-at-home mom that you feel like nobody sees? Like, what do you, and I know that's probably a really loaded question, but like, or, you know, that day-to-day, like maybe that is, but what do you think is like the hardest part that you just don't think people really
understand? So I think for me, it's gone in phases. So I've been home for almost a decade now, and I feel like there's been a lot of growth during that. So in the beginning, it was losing your sense of identity. That was a big part for me because being a teacher was a big part of my identity. I loved teaching. I still like, you know, next year when my youngest is in school, I still might go back to the school and maybe sub because that is a part of me that I love being around other kids. I love teaching kids. So when I first became a stay-at-home mom, it was like, oh my gosh, well now my career is on the back burner and I am, you know, like knee deep in my kids and, you know, they're all encompassing routines and caring for them and kind of being, you know, their emotional shoulder as they've gotten older. So that was the hardest part in the beginning. And then, I think that just as time has gone on, it's gotten easier. I've also learned to fill my own cup because for a long time I was completely pouring into them and then becoming overstimulated or overwhelmed. And I've learned that along the way that I have to take care of myself.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Absolutely. And in the, I don't know how much, and again, it's been, like you said, it's been so long since you've been a mom and I was a little behind you. And I know I remember sending you like the posts on Instagram of like, when I became a mom, it's like, I am so sorry. I wasn't a better friend when you first became a mom. And the fact that you talk about like loss of identity, like I can relate to that. And I did, you know, I do have a career and I have had a career and it's just, it's so empowering to hear how many women do experience this, like, I am a mom and I don't even know what else I am, even if And like you said, you found those other things to make sure you're still filling your cup. But even I feel like I'm still navigating that on like a regular basis of like, and I have a ton of imposter syndrome when it comes to like so many things, but outside of being a mom, it's like, I still am like, should I be, you know, the guilt, we'll get into that, but you know, should I just be focused on being a mom? How much am I a bad mom because I don't stay at home with my kids and I don't, you know, I get these other, you know, fulfillments or, you know, should, it's like this, it's crazy, this like tug and war, which it sounds like even you, you felt with even staying at home that you were like, I'm still really passionate about teaching and like, when will I, and it sounds like possibly, you know, getting closer West going to school, but you know, that's still something you're passionate about, I think is so cool. And that you clearly have found other ways to fill your cup in the meantime, which is, really exciting. I want to talk about what that looks like. So do you ever feel like in whether or not this is people like that, you know, or social media, unfortunately being such a big impact, but do you feel like some people just don't understand how much work it is to be a stay-at-home mom?
Yes, I do think that. So I think that, I think our generation does a better job of identifying that it is a real role. I think that, you know, maybe our parents or our grandparents, you know, didn't take it as seriously as it is. But what I found is that generally the people who understand it the most are the ones who are doing it, which of course in any area, that's what makes it relatable. Right. But, I mean, I think that overall our generation, we understand the value of it. And we know that it is a service. We are providing a service for our family, just like a working parent would. We have a lot of responsibility here and taking care of our kids full-time is a responsibility.
100%. And that's exactly why, again, you were the first people I thought of. It's like, I want to shine light on what moms are doing. And just like you said, it is a job. It's unpaid labor. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, what they say, like invisible labor, because there's probably so many things that go into your day to day that aren't, you know, directly related to the kids, that keeps the machine running and, you know, your husband able to do what he does, that, you know, if you were to list out your daily responsibilities to compare to, you know, working parents, I would imagine that list is a lot busier. You know, it's a lot more. And again, this is where my guilt comes in, is like, I don't think I could do it. And I think I've maybe talked to you about this. Like, I don't think I could stay at home with my kids. I genuinely love them more than anything, but on Mondays I'm like, all right, like back to where I feel like I thrive. I know I'm a good mom, but I also know this is what fills my days and fills my cup to
which
be able
important.
To be a present mom.
Yeah.
It is. And I think that's where, like, working through, and again, both of what both of us are doing in our, we'll call our 9 to 5 hours, obviously, all on for you, but is important. And it's just a different, you know, level of what that looks like and what that means, you know, to you as an individual making that decision and what's best for you and your family. So let's get to the day-to-day. We'll get more into that, but I think this will really show exactly what this looks like. So, like, walk me through whatever you could choose, a realistic day that's actually happened recently, or just a hypothetical day, but like day-to-day in your house, like, what is that? What does it look like?
Okay. So, my husband leaves for work at like 5 a.m. He's gone from 5 to 6 p.m. most days. So it's, you know, from the second that boy arrives. Yeah. So my kids are, three of them are in elementary school now. My youngest goes to preschool 3 days a week, which is another huge transition for me this year. This is like the first time in almost a decade that I have a weekday where I don't have a kid with me. I mean, this is the first time, because even last year, one would be in school and one would be at home with me. So that was a big transition for me that I'm feeling this year, is like, whew, I can breathe a little bit. You know, I get a little bit of time. And even now I'm using that time to do the things that I would normally do with a kid in tow. I'm doing it just on my own, but that's a nice little break. It's a nice little breather. So anyway, they're up in the morning. It's breakfast, morning routines, getting them off to school now. In the summer, it was a lot of, you know, when they were home with me during the day, these boys have energy. They want to be active. So it's going to the pool, playing outside. You know, it's a lot of, I always say, like, I feel like I have my head on a swivel because I'm just looking around, making sure that they're all being safe and, you know, just watching them. But it's just a lot of managing. I would say that it, you know, all their activities, we have band and sports and after school club. So I feel like at this point with how the ages of my kids, it's a lot of driving around, managing their schedules, making sure that they're doing the things that they need to do. While also like kind of letting them foster their own independence and, you know, being next to them while doing things instead of doing things for them. That's, you know, kind of a big thing, but.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that transition, I'm sure, from, and again, I'm on the early ages, but like to know when to like, and kind of figure out like when to kind of start to pull back and start, you know, fostering more of that independence, but in a way that you're comfortable with, which is terrifying, but right. also that they are, and to kind of start to pull back the reins, which again, I can't wait to be picking your brain about in coming years of how you do that. But I love it. You've told me stories about like, I know one when we were back and visiting a couple of months ago, when you said you were, I think, counting, you had like the two boys, I think, playing like out back, and then I can't remember where Ford was, but then you're like, and then Wes, I was looking for him and he's down at the neighbors. Yeah. So like, talk to me about like how, and I think what you talked about when you told this story is like, because of their ages, you know, they're close in age, but they're also just different interests. And like, you know, maybe the older ones are, you know, probably more self-sufficient at this point. But then you having to balance all of that and making sure they're all entertained or, you know, meeting what you're able to provide, but in four different directions, or, you know, at least a few, like how can you tell the story of, you know, I think, you know, the day I'm talking about, of where I think it was Wes that was down at the neighbors. So I'm sure that's just, that wasn't, you know, a one-time thing. I know this is just like you trying to, again, give that independence, but also like survive. So let's talk about like, how do you manage? And I love the word, the fact that you use the word managing. So it's exactly what it is. Yeah. How, do manage being literally pulled in like four directions, or, you know, at least multiple.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it does help that as the boys are getting older, it helps. I think something I've found along the years too, is letting the way that they're able to find this independence and start to learn how to do the things themselves is for you to, you know, they're in a contained environment, they're in a safe environment, whether they're, you know, with you, and kind of letting them struggle in a sense of being able to figure it out themselves. So like my approach on managing all four of them is to kind of hang back and remember like the things I teach them within the walls of our house, I trust that they are going to be able to do when they're not with me. And it's a lot of like remembering that you're teaching them things here and then giving them a little bit of space to do it. So with my oldest, for example, he is now old enough to where we let him ride around the neighborhood on his bike by himself. That then leaves me with three other kids here where it's, again, he's off on his own, but I trust that because we've worked on the things within our house, you know, he is kind of able to do that. It's a lot of like remembering to teach them things here and then being able to like let it go just little by little. As far as the little ones go, it's just a lot of back and forth. Like I truly don't, there's not a lot of rest time. Let's just say that. When they're little, there's not a lot of rest time. It's constant. Like that's a real deal. Unless you want them to be like sitting around on screens all the time, which I don't. Everything in moderation, 100%. But if I'm choosing to, you know, I want them to be outside and be active, I'm going to be right there with them.
You got
it. And it might look like me walking from the front yard to the backyard all day, you know,
getting those steps.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. And it's just so cool to hear, because these are things that I'm, you know, going to be getting to, but I love, and what that kind of made me is what you said, like in these, you know, this house, what you're able to kind of teach them and then trust them to keep that as they go out into the world, and where you can't be right there. But that's amazing that you even are like leading with that, which I'm sure it's not every moment that you know, are able to, or that it's that easy. But the fact that that's where you start from, because I do think, you know, a lot of what I've heard and how I feel like I was raised is that trust, to that your parents do trust you to kind of figure those things out, and how they learn and how they grow from, you know, trial and error, but leading with kind of what they've learned. But also what made me think of that is it sounds like you really just focus on like what you can control, which is inside your four walls.
Sure.
And there's so much outside of that you can't. And I think that's what leads to, like, at least for me, a lot of my like anxiety about things is like not having control. But what I'm trying to focus on with that in every aspect is like, what can I control? And yes. I feel like that's what you know, are kind of getting to, is like, that's what you can control, right? You can't control what he goes and does on his bike ride, you know, around the neighborhood.
Right. Or what friends, you know, I feel like it's so much of just remembering, like, we're going to do the best we can. We're going to teach them in the best way possible, but also at some point you got to start to let go. And again, mine are little, so I'm sure this is going to be way different in the teenage years and whatnot, but I want to try and start to do that now, just to build that trust with my kids of like, hey, you know, we do the work at home. So then when you are outside of our house, you know, and not expecting perfection. I also know that my kids are going to make mistakes. Those are learning lessons too, where conversations are going to be had, and all these things. But like you said, what is in our control? It's just the work that we do.
Absolutely. We're going to switch gears a little bit. I want to hear what's one of the funniest things that your boys have done lately that just totally derailed the day, or like that portion of the day, which I'm sure you can. There's probably a lot.
The one I texted you last week. So, this also goes to show, I've told you this before, I tell my husband all the time, if I did have a full-time job, I would be fired, because taking care of them is a full-time job. Yeah. Just to give you an example, I was three of my boys were at school, and it was one of the days where my preschooler was at home with me, and he was complaining of an upset tummy. So I said, all right, we're going to get you in the bath. So he's in the bath, just hanging out. I get a call from my oldest son's school that he dropped his lunch he is a very type A, like avid, I bring my lunch from home and this is the only thing I'm gonna eat. He's eating the same thing for lunch every day in kindergarten. Peanut butter sandwich, pretzels, apple, like always. So he dropped his lunch at school and was upset because he was starving and he wasn't gonna eat a school lunch. So I get a call from the school saying he dropped his lunch. Is there any way you can bring something in for him? I told him, yep, no problem. I go to get my youngest out of the bathtub and his upset tummy turned into explosive diarrhea on our carpet, his bedroom carpet. Okay. So I'm like, all right, great. Back in the tub, put him back in the tub. I go to clean up the mess, realize we're out of carpet cleaner. So had to make do with that in the moment. And just in the timing of just trying to get us out the door, it happened again. So it was just like one of those funny moments where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, both of my kids need me in these moments. I have to, you know, one thing at a time. Like it's just part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was funny though, because I'm like, you know, I'm kind of like used to this now where at this point you gotta laugh at some stuff. Like
absolutely,
you know,
or
it's
how do you survive? I think that's and again I keep relating this because it's like in what you started that with, like if I had a full-time job I'd be fired, which is like a whole nother thing of like how parents are supposed to care for their, you know, just like you said, you get a phone call, you're at work, like what are you going to do? Sorry, I can't bring him food. In so many, you know, obviously work situations, you know, don't have that flexibility. And you know, I think post COVID, there's a lot more work, you know, remote work that is encouraging of that, or at least allows that opportunity. But again, it's a big thing of why I wanted to start this business and start this podcast. So like bringing to light these situations that, you know, working moms that aren't able to do that. But then also in even with stay-at-home moms, guess what? You're cleaning up diarrhea off the carpet. Like it's everyone is just doing their best and trying to
100%.
Get through that moment, that day, whatever that looks like, and kind of ditching any realm of perfection, which is, you know, I think a challenge probably for all of us because that's, you know, I think what society's kind of created. But I love your attitude about it. And in that moment, and I was thinking again, kind of relating to that, to like the workforce of like that type of shit that also happens in like, you know, for anyone that works of like, I have this person that maybe just told me they're putting in their resignation and this person has a family emergency. And it's like, I have, you know, I need to be pulled into two different directions. And you have to, at that point, like prioritize what I need to do right now. What can I do next to handle this situation? So what I think is so cool, and you know, whether or not you go back to the classroom or not, but like all the skills that you've improved and gained managing your household and managing, we'll call it, you know, some chaotic days of balancing priorities. Like I think it'd be cool. And I'm sure there's research and studies that have seen like moms that go back into the workforce, like how much stronger they are and how much more efficient they are and how they're able to manage. I would, you know, so much more than they probably could before, because the skills that you get as a mother, because you have to keep, you know, four kids alive and thriving as much as possible. Absolutely. Clear, you know, skills that go into any sort of career, no matter what that looks like, or, you know, continuing to support your kids into, like you said, you know, the next years of teenagers and beyond. So anyways, it's just so many amazing things that you're doing. And those stories, I always am like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And you're always like, I'm just laughing. It's no big deal.
Surrender. Yeah.
You got to pick your battles, right? Because I can't even imagine if you let every one of those days get to you, like, what would you, you know, and actually kind of my next topic, I want to talk about like some of the higher, you know, the high highs and then maybe some of the harder days. But is there a recent one you've had that you feel like you've stopped and been like, okay, this is why I'm doing this. Like anything that's been like, you know, either in anything, like either something that you felt like, because I know we've talked about this too, just, you know, on a friendship level of like that being present and really trying to just enjoy this time while your kids are little. And especially now that number four is going into school, I'm sure it's been probably mixed emotions, but like, do you ever have those moments or any specific moment that it's like, wow, like this is why I stay home, like this is why I'm a mom, or anything that just felt like a really big win?
Oh, I love that. So, part of what I actually thought about it being a challenge as being a stay-at-home mom is also a big win. So the challenge I've found is there is, being a stay-at-home parent, there is not a lot of immediate gratification. And that's in any workforce, right? But at least like when I was teaching, it was kind of like, you know, you would be assigned to a task. If my task was teaching my students X, Y, and Z, and then you would see them learn it on the exit ticket. There was that little bit of like, okay, you know, check, like that feels good. They learned this. There's, you see like the end result right there, which is just like a nice little, you know, a nice feeling. With being a stay-at-home parent, there's not a lot of those moments. So it's a lot more of like long-term, just the bigger picture type thing. So I've found that kind of my prouder moments, or like when I'm like, okay, this is what feels good about being a stay-at-home parent. This is why this, there's a lot of value in this, is I think when I see my kids making choices that are kind of just like true to our family values. And I mean, I think any mom would say that, would experience that. That doesn't have to be a stay-at-home mom to to be able to see that. But that is, those are kind of like the proud mama moments where you're like, wow, I'm watching you get older and I'm watching you deal with these things by yourself, where it's like, okay, all these seeds that are being planted and I'm trying to water, and you know, I'm not seeing these flowers grow right away, but I'm still watering them every day. You know, you see those moments where then the flower does bloom and it's like, okay, I'm going to keep going. Like I'm going to, I may not see this immediate gratification right now, but these things matter. And, and every day, you know, the things I'm trying to instill into my kids, they're going to matter.
It's working. That is
but again,
beautiful.
I think you, I think any mom, you don't have to be a stay-at-home mom to feel that.
No, I
think that
I just, I see what you're saying, but I also, I think what you said about not having, you know, at home, you're not, and I know your husband is awesome and so grateful for what you do from what you've shared, but it's not like you're getting, you know, each day you get them off to school, like you did it, like great work,
right, Rita. Sure.
Like, you know, you're not getting, like you would typically in a traditional like workforce, some sort of acknowledgement or, you know, like you said, kind of that gratification from accomplishing things. And I do think, you know, I'm very driven by that, you know, gratification and the things that I like kind of check off, if you will, like check off the list, like, I did, you know, in a, like feeling that accomplishment or whatever it may be. And I've never even thought about that, of how that, how different that likely is. And like you said, the long game of like, oh, wow. Like, but I would imagine how cool that feeling is of, you know, just like you said, of, I think a sacrifice and in the work that you put in to think about that, especially for, like you said, being pregnant every first birthday for, you know, for however many, you know, years that would add up to, and, you know, all the challenges that go into that, but to feel that of like all of that work that you put in and you see, you know, those moments or those decisions being made, like how cool, and you get to like forever, like you get to watch that, you know, and I think that's so exciting to, as they continue to grow up, to have those moments, like what a beautiful thing. Oh, I love that. Okay, let's talk about kind of the other end, the lows, because we don't get all these amazing, beautiful moments without some of the harder ones.
Sure.
So like, what about times when you feel like you're running on empty, which I, again, I know we've talked about because we have this amazing friend group that we share these things, but like, talk to us about like some of those moments, like when it's, you know, like you said, in those wins of like, all right, I got this, I can keep going. But what about when like your tank is running on me,
right? Yeah, because those, that time absolutely comes too. I think that when I think back to when I was in the thick of it, right after my youngest was born, I had for 2 months there were 4 kids under 5 and under. So that is truly when I was in the thick of it, where it's just it's hard. It's hard, and you have to, I think, you know, leaning on people that you love. I mean, us talking, like you said, we have an amazing friend group of, like we can lean on each other. And I think when you, talk to those people that you trust, and that, you know, have your back and your best interests in mind, it's leaning on your community during those times is so important, because none of us know the right answer to everything. And I think we can all learn from each other. And whether that's, I mean, even if you don't have like a big support system, you know, going on, that's like kind of the plus side of social media. I think one of the big pluses is there's a lot of information out there of resources of things that can help you, because the real deal is taking care of kids. It's a lot of work. And when I was like in the thick of it, lack of sleep, not taking care of myself, you know, you and I have talked so much about how important physical movement is for our mental health. Huge. That was like one of the biggest things that I feel like made me a better mom is moving my body every day, because it helped up here more than anything. But yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah,
no, good for you. And I, like you said, moving your body is one of, and I know helps me, you know, with the balance of everything, but also just some of the anxiety I have. Again, like I mentioned earlier, just about, I think stress leads me to have anxiety. So I think that sort of physical, you know, exercise and moving my body helps with the stress, which then, you know, kind of is a domino effect of then helping with everything else. But I think, like you said, leaning on your community, and I love that you put social media, and I think there's ways to get in cycles of, you know, some of the positive community areas, but then obviously some of the guilt in the what I don't have and what I, you know, and envious of. But there's so many amazing things on social media, just like you said, resources and knowledge, and to help in those moments. If you I'd be interested to hear from you, because I don't think you've, you know, I've never seen you struggle with this, but maybe to moms that like struggle being honest with how they're feeling, which I think is, you know, one of the probably scarier places to be of, you know, if you're feeling that way, like you said, especially as a new mom, and the exhaustion of lack of sleep, because that's just reality of a new mom, hormones that are just crashing down, you know, just so much that happens, especially those first few months, whether with your first or your fourth. But like, what if you just are struggling in admitting those feelings? Like, what would you recommend in those moments? You know, if there's anything that you can think of like, maybe you don't have that community, or you don't even really feel comfortable expressing, you know, how you're feeling, what would you, what would you say to like a mom that's in that situation?
I would encourage a mom to, remember that we all, none of us have it all figured out, and we don't have to. We don't have to. I truly believe, like, we love our kids. We're taking care of our kids. There is not some rule book on the perfect answer. There's a pro and con to everything. And I think in some ways, we all struggle. And the biggest thing you can do as a mom is to find your people who relate to you, or, you know, understand you. And again, that could be a influencer on social media if you don't have a circle of people. But I definitely think that there's nothing wrong with being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. None of us have the right answers. And I think that we can lean on each other too. Because even, you know, I out of our friend group, I have the oldest kids and the most right now, but I don't have all the answers. I'm texting you guys all the time. And even like on a rough day, I want my people. I want my people. So it, you know, it doesn't mean like, you don't have to find somebody who necessarily, you know, has more kids than you or more experience or whatever. It's just finding people that you connect with, and remembering that if you open up about something too, you may realize that you have a lot more in common as far as a struggle or whatever than you may think.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love, and I don't think I've heard it phrased that way, where you said we don't all have it figured out, but we also don't have to. Like, what a a release of pressure and, you know, expectations that moms put on themselves to not only say we don't all have it figured out, but also you don't need to, because I think that's so many of us are just trying to have it more together every day. And like, and again, I think social media has been a double-edged sword, because the things that you see that maybe people aren't as vulnerable about, you know, like this, what appears to be perfection, or like they have, you know, wow, they're, you know, going off and doing all these fun things and they look so happy, but maybe not seeing, you know, what we'll call like the ugly, the hard, those challenges and, you know, putting that expectation on themselves. But to what you said of, you know, when the moment you're vulnerable, the more comfortable people are going to feel being vulnerable with you, because they realize like they're in a safe space, because you're not perfect, and you know, you experience those things. And I think like, and again, this is something I focus on with like leadership and work, but to apply to like friendships in every aspect of my life is like leading with vulnerability, whether or not that be with my team or my friends or my family, is like, I can't expect someone to open up and be honest and vulnerable with me if I'm not willing to do that with them. Like,
right,
that's just, 100%. You know, people, it's safety. And like one of the top things like people crave is safety. And that's like safety with your emotions and your feelings and just the realness.
Yeah.
So I love that. And like you said, it may not be people that are in the exact same stage of life. You know, I think you might have had Wes when I found out. I think you were about to go into labor with Wes when I found out I was pregnant with Lily. So like your last was, you know, right before my first. So, you know, the example of like, we've been in very different stages of motherhood, you know, for the last 10 years. But that hasn't stopped me from ever feeling like I can relate to you or,
same.
You know, be honest with
same.
You
and, yeah.
And it's, I think what's again so cool about our friendship and you know, I've worked since and I've been on this like career grind and chase and you've stayed at home, but we've never lacked relating on things because I think both are able to just be honest and vulnerable about like life and we're both out here trying to do our best and just how cool that is of like you said, once you find those people that you feel safe with, like that community, it doesn't matter whether, you know, it's people without kids or people, you know, with four kids, it's still just people you trust that you can be honest with and have that support. So
yeah,
I that's awesome. What really, really, really helps you reset on like really hard days? So like, and it sounds like you had an awesome attitude in that day you walked us through with the carpet diarrhea. Yeah. But is there anything that like your go-to? I know you mentioned like moving your body, which I can totally relate to. But like, is there anything else that like is, you know, you're having one of those days and like, you know, like, okay, I need, you know, to do this or to like, what's like a good reset thing for you? And whether or not it's a day or even like, I know you've done like spa days, you know, like you have those, what, you know, seem to be like things that you're like, oh, right, this is for me. And you brought up, you know, your loss of identity in the beginning. So like, what are some of those things that you've done? And I'm sure it's evolved in the last 10 years, but what are some of those like reset things for you as Miranda rather than as mom?
Right. Right. So, like it definitely has evolved. So had Wes when he was like a baby, I was very into cookie decorating. So I had a hobby that I think I did it for 3 years. It was before I got pregnant with Wes. So before my fourth and finding a hobby for myself was very therapeutic. I put that on pause once he became mobile because that's just, I'll revisit it someday. Now is not the time. But I think finding a hobby is a good thing. So maybe you can use, you know, press that reset button and dive into something that you enjoy. But for now, it's been more movement. I feel that if I'm having, whether it's an off day, an off moment, a lot of that energy sits right here in me. And I need to get it out. It's like, cause then it starts to feel like tightness and anxiety. And to me, that's built up energy that needs to be exerted somehow. So that's, you know, a sprint on the treadmill. That's breath work. I think it's on YouTube. I think I've sent it to you guys before, Wim Hof breath work. Mm-hmm. It's like a 10-minute clip. And if you ever feel tightness in your chest, you should try it. It feels so good. So I'll do that. Or walking outside, like connecting with nature, honestly, even if I have to stand outside with my shoes off and just put my feet in grass. It's kind of just small moments of reconnecting with myself and also, again, just getting the energy out, that I found is helpful, but things that are not helpful, getting on social media. I've learned that, like you said, double-edged sword in the moments when I'm feeling in it, when I'm in the right headspace, it works. When I'm in the wrong headspace, I need to pause, you know, and like, I would rather text you and connect with people that I know in those moments. So, I would say connection, movement, breath work. Those are the things that help kind of bring me back to like, hey, this is just a hard moment and it'll pass.
I love that. I love that. And what it sounds like you do, and whether or not it's consciously or not, is like really check in and in tune with yourself and what you need. And then you make, you know, again, whether or not you're obviously, you know, probably don't even have a second to do that. But it sounds like you, like what you just said, whether I'm not, I'm in the right mindset, like social media, like that's, you know, it's a good thing and can be a really good tool when you're in the right mindset. But it sounds like you're a lot of your like harder moments in those times, you have, you know, kind of a toolkit of these different things that it's like, okay, what do I need right now? And to release, like you said, kind of that energy or tightness. So I think knowing, and this is what I feel like I've really tried to do since I've had kids is in, I don't know, it's interesting because I don't think I really was as in tune with myself and what I need until I had kids, which is an interesting thing that I don't know if I realized that, like, because how, you know, difficult some postpartum moments were, and just like you said, kind of that loss of identity, or, you know, just this like guilt, all these different things. It's like, I think it's forced me to like really be honest with myself and true to like, what do I actually need in these moments? Like what is best for me to not like lose myself and to make sure that I'm still prioritizing myself. And I think that forced me to, again, be in more tune of like how I'm feeling, how my mental health is, and then to do what's best in those moments for me, even if that means, you know, sacrificing what I view as perfection or what I needed to accomplish this day or whatever. It's like, no, what do I need right now?
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, those different things that, you know, very similar tools that, again, I think that's one of those first steps that women probably struggle with, and especially moms, is being able to be honest of what they need and prioritizing that, and then making, like you said, I love that you mentioned, like, and then doing it, prioritizing, doing it, like taking your shoes off and putting your feet in grass, like how much value that provides. But how many women just go to social media and not to, you know, blame, I do that way too often, you know, but to actually think like, what do I need in this moment? And I'm going to go do it.
Right. And remembering the importance of taking the time to do something like that is valuable, because if you steamroll over it, then you are just, again, you're not, that's not benefiting your kids or yourself in any way. Cause that goes back to pouring from an empty cup. Like that kind of relates to like mom guilt, in my opinion. I know that we all suffer from it in a sense, but the biggest thing is that we have to take care of ourselves. That helps eliminate the mom guilt when you know, like, okay, I'm taking care of myself and I can give my kid the best version of me. Because, you know, to pull the curtain back on being a stay-at-home mom, I want to clear up a misconception that some people have that just because you're a stay-at-home parents are not better parents than working parents. And that's always, I've never understood the kind of the battle or like the conversation, because I can tell you from being a stay-at-home parent, if I am not pouring into myself and taking care of myself too, I can become on edge. I can become overstimulated, and that doesn't benefit my kids and it doesn't benefit me. So working mom, stay-at-home mom, taking care of yourself and realizing that there's value and pausing and giving yourself a moment without feeling bad is important. It's vital for you to actually be the best mom that you can be.
That is no, so beautifully said. I mean, and it's and just like you said, it's empowering. I'm literally about to get emotional because it's just to hear from a stay-at-home mom, from, you know, to a working mom, this that you have this mom guilt that you feel even when, you know, you've spent debatably more time. And like you said, it's not a like you are around your kids all day, but you still have mom guilt. You still need those moments of grounding. And like you said, and I love that, of like what fills your cup is going to be different than what fills my cup and what fills, you know, the next person's cup. And it's, I think, impossible not to feel this mom guilt, but like you said, you cannot pour into your kids, your family, anything else unless you're filling up your own cup. And that is something that I feel like I realized when I became a mom, and I think I maybe saw the value so much more in, and I don't know if that's, you know, just this, existential, like life experience I even almost every day with Taylor, I like look at them and I'm like, we create how did we do this? Like, how did we create these people that are, you know, versions of us and that we're responsible for? So I don't know if like that huge responsibility that I feel to raise my, I have two girls, two daughters, to like love themselves and to, you know, value themselves and pour into themselves, that I have to take care of my, like, I will be a hypocrite if I'm like, oh, take care of yourself, do what's best for you, and then I'm not doing it. Like, how am I going to show them that in demonstrate how to do that, or that it's okay and that you shouldn't feel guilty taking care of yourself if I'm not going to do that? So, I don't know. I think that is like you said, there's nothing's better. Nothing makes you a better parent. And something that we all have that is the same, regardless of your experience, is we're out here trying to do our best. Yeah. And that looks different every day. And we feel there's always going to be an amount of guilt that we're not good enough, or we're not doing it good enough, but we are, right? Like it doesn't, like you're trying, and the fact that you care, and you know, I've seen this on social media, like the fact that you even are worried about doing your best shows you're doing your best. You know, the fact that you even are, or that even crosses your mind, shows how much you care. And I think that's, I just hope all moms, you know, hopefully listening to this can believe that about themselves, because those feelings, you know, I feel like once you get going on that, can really spiral and put you in a tough spot.
I think that just keeping the focus of the values and the family dynamic that you want to have, as long as that's the foundation of just kind of the choices that you make, it's, you can't go wrong. Like, you know, you're going to love your kids. You're going to instill values in them that, that, you know, you, like you said, you're hoping, you want to teach your daughters independence. You want to teach them how to take care of themselves. And you're completely leading by example, 100%. But you have to remember that too, in the back of your mind, of having any doubt or any guilt, is like, well, I'm leading by example, and I am filling my cup in a way that is good for me to be the best mom that I can be. So in the moments where you are with your kids, it's like, you're not pouring from an empty cup. Your cup is full. You were able to do the things that are important to you. That's so valuable, you know? And I think all of us, like, we all need to remember that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Could not agree more. All right. We're going to get into some like takeaways, which we just like covered so much good stuff. But like, if another mom, like me, or like any of, you know, your anyone else in your community, or just any mom, because I know it wouldn't even have to be a friend for you to offer some advice, but like told you, like, I'm drowning, like, what would you tell her?
Same, girl. Same. I'm okay. I've been there, done that 100%. Even on some days I still am. In those moments, remembering to make a tiny choice to do something for yourself that kind of, you know, is like your go-to. So I'm drowning right now. I feel anxious. I feel this tightness in my chest. I'm going to take 5 minutes to do this kind of go-to thing that I know will help me. For me, it's breath work. It's been movement. It's honestly, even if you need to like step outside and take a couple breaths by yourself, if the kids are crying or whatever, just to kind of like recenter, maybe say some, like a prayer, or, you know, some affirmations. You and I are big on affirmations too. I know we've talked about that, but, text a friend, tell her, I'm drowning. I need to talk to you. Get some reassurance. Hey, you're doing a great job. So I would just remind that mom that we've all been there, and you're going to make it through.
Yeah.
It's a moment. It's not a hard life. It's a hard moment. And this moment will pass, but you need to recenter and do something that will feel good for you right now, and then move forward.
I love that. I love that. Keep and going. I think you said it earlier, it's like, it's temporary. And like in those moments, like, this is just like you said, this is a moment. This is a hard time. This is not my whole day. And I think that's, you know, you see those things, that's like, don't let those hard things, it doesn't have to become a hard day. You kind of make, you get to have that choice of like letting that moment impact your
shift, right? Right now this feels really hard, but it's not going to stay this way. But it's a choice that you have to like make in your head, you know?
Absolutely. All right. I'm really getting you some like hard hitters here. What do you want your boys to remember about having a home with them?
Gosh, I love that. I want them to remember that I truly enjoyed being home with them. That's my hope, is that, you know, again, I have my moments, and I, when we're talking again about like leading by example, I want my kids to know that I have my moments too, but my response is what matters. So if I have a snappy moment, or, you know, like a yelling moment, whatever the case may be, my apology, our conversation, my response, and the way we move forward matters more than anything. So I want them to remember that we moved through those tough moments, but the good was way, way more than that. And that I want them to know that I love being their mom. I love being home with them, and we have a lot of fun together. And I think being a mom is fun. So I just want them to remember me as being like a fun mom.
I love that. And I know they do, and will continue to. And I love that you said too, that like, you're going to have those moments where you snap or like yell raise your voice. And it's like, cause you're human and that's what happens. And how amazing and beautiful to then like come back and be like, I did yell and apologize, or, you know, whatever that conversation leads to of, you know, what I tell the girls, and Lily's really recognized the term frustrated. And, you know, I'll say, mommy was frustrated, you know, and I try to explain why. And next time I'm going to do this, or I'm going to handle it this way, to, you know, like you said, own it, like not just let it go by, but to, you know, acknowledge those feelings and like, this is how I handled it, but this is what I want to do better next time. So that way, maybe, you know, that example of like you're going to have hard moments, and you're not going to handle it the way that you wished you would have, but like, you know, I'm going to then reflect of like, I'm going to try this. And yeah, explaining that to a 2 and 3 year old, sometimes I will say that, and Lily's like, can we have a snack? And
it's
like,
I'm
so glad I was vulnerable with you.
You're planting those seeds. You're planting the seeds.
Yeah.
It's going to matter someday. You just keep doing it.
Yeah. And then now Lily, it's cool to hear her, like, she'll see that I'm getting frustrated, even if, you know, I'm probably showing it, maybe not using my words yet. And, mommy, are you frustrated? And like hearing that almost immediately, like, gets me unfrustrated, because I'm like, wow. And how cool, she's that in tune to see my emotions, but also like, she's able to read that. And when she asks, you can tell she's like, oh no, like, did we, you know, is she frustrated? It's like, and I'll be honest, sometimes it's like, I'm okay, babe, you know, you don't need to worry about me. But to, like you said, those seeds of even like emotional intelligence of like recognizing feelings and emotions in others, and then, you know, whatever that may look like to support them. So all right, final question. If you could go back and tell yourself one thing before becoming a mom, what would it be?
Oh my goodness. I would probably say that, and I've told like my friends this after each baby and stuff, but I would tell myself that you make choices based for your kids and your family based on what you feel is best. There are a million and one opinions. Everybody has their own opinion. Everyone's situation looks different. It should always go back to, what are my values? What type of family dynamic do I want to create? What is important to me? And only move from there, because that is literally going to look different for everybody. Everybody's situations are so unique and so different. There is not one right answer. So co-sleep if you want, breastfeed, bottle feed if you want, all of these things. People have all these opinions. You do what you feel is best, and what's in alignment with the life that you want to create, and silence the noise.
I absolutely love that. I know we've talked about the Mel Robbins let them theory. Yes. And I think like on that is like, and then let whoever, whether or not it's, you know, other parents or people on social media, let them feel however they're going to feel about that, and let me do me and what's best for my family, and like being okay releasing any judgment of what those choices are, and what an empowering, and that's something to be proud of, right? Is making those choices of what's best for your family and trying to push away any guilt associated with that.
Right. Cause I mean, you know, if you have questions, or like if I have questions, you know, you're gonna ask when you want to know other people's opinions. But some things it's kind of like, no, I'm going to do this because this is what feels good for me and what I want for my family. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like just remembering that it's always good to go to those people that you want advice from and that you value their advice. But any exterior stuff that's going to criticize what you're doing or just feels icky, I would just tell like my younger self to just put earmuffs on and keep going.
I love it. All right, Miranda, thank you. That is, I can't follow up on that. Thank you so much for talking to me. This is like, I need this regardless, like regularly with you. But I think, and what I said in the beginning is like, I think you have so much just wisdom and like how much you've grown as a woman and as a mom and as a friend. And I know as a wife that, you know, in your 10 years, like how exciting, almost a decade of being a mom and doing this and just the growth that I've got to watch and like learn from. It's just been so amazing. So
thank you. You
are incredible. Again, we will definitely talk again because I know people are going to want to hear more from you, but thank you again. And if you're listening to Roots and Realities, we'll link, you know, Miranda, I know you mentioned that breath work. I think people would love to hear in, you know, any other meditations or recommendations. We'll definitely link in the information, but thank you again for being here.
I love you. Thank you.